time for more of The Ladies' Room. Once again, here's Patricia Washington on TalkZone.com.
And welcome back. We're glad you've joined us in the ladies' room. It's our midday break, and we hope that you are smiling. Hopefully we've talked about something that'll make you smile, but also something that has piqued your interest just a little bit. We're joined in the ladies' room today. My special guest, very special guest, Cherie Berry. She is a wonderful designer. She specializes in wedding invitations, announcements, personalized stationery, but she's also the author of this great book called Hurrah for the Bra. She's formerly a designer at Kate Spade in New York City, a Washington University grad. She's right here in beautiful St. Louis in the Central West End, and we are talking about, this is just the coolest little book, and it's, you know, it's hardcover. It's a pop-up book, and if you love, I love pop-up books, enjoyed them as a kid. I can remember, I think my first one was probably from church in Bible study with the book about the little ark and all the little animals popped up. And that's exactly what this book is. And it is really a great look at a very essential piece of your wardrobe, but oftentimes a very controversial, Ask Janet Jackson, piece of your wardrobe. And it is something that you either love bras and you're really into them and you look for them in all colors, shapes, sizes, different patterns, and what, or you just absolutely, you know, despise them. And I think I'm probably in the latter group, because especially as the weather heats up, you don't want it on there, but they are pretty and they're nice to look at. So this book takes us through some of the historical elements, some of the funny elements, all the way from the 20s, where, you know, you had those young ladies and they didn't seem like they had very much bosom at all the way up to Wonder Bra, Fredericks of Hollywood style, Madonna relationships with our bra. And Cherie was kind enough to join us here in the ladies' room. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you, Cherie, is when you decided to do this book and you thought about bras, did you ever imagine that you'd find out the kind of information that you found while you were doing your research?
No, absolutely not. I couldn't believe how much history there was in this little undergarment that we put on before we go to work every day, that, you know, we put it on without even thinking. But I was actually also blown away at the fact that, you know, it hasn't been around. It's just been 100 years since the bra's been around. So that's why I was mm-hmm. like, what did women do before this? So there were so many interesting tidbits that I found out along the way as I was researching. And like the cup sizes, the A, B, C, D, the cup sizes weren't even invented until the 1930s. So women before that, after the corset was finally, you know, thrown out, women were in the
burned.
burned, exactly. You know, women were so happy to not, you know, to be in this corset. So, but then we had the flapper, you know, era in the 1920s, where women were binding their breasts with like bandeau bras. So they still weren't ready to acknowledge the fact that they had, you know, two breasts, but it was more about the fact of getting out of this horrible contraction, you know, gaining the right to vote and feeling like they're having equality with men. But, you know, they were still taking baby steps as to not lifting and separating yet. So I thought, you know, I think the 20s is such an interesting segue, then finally going into the 30s, where the cup sizes were, you know, invented so that it's not, you know, women can't be strapped down by one size, that we're, every woman has, you know, a different size and should be comfortable and be fitted the proper way. So I think that's interesting to think that the 30s that we brought about the cup sizes, and then how it just has evolved into such a beautiful, you know, a piece of fashion throughout the years, even though, like I said in the last segment, that it really, the bra really parallels the history of women's roles in society. So it's just such an interesting adventure, and I couldn't wait to share it with the rest of the world. And it's a great coffee table book because I think it takes, you know, this what used to be kind of this, oh, this like no-no piece of, you know, this lingerie out of the closet and onto the coffee table book. And it just tells the book just, you know, you could read it and gosh, you've seen it. You could read it in, an hour or less. It's just
right.
Little facts that I wanted that when people read it for the first time to be able to go away learning something. But then as it sits on the table, they could pick it up and learn something again as they read it, and also to be very visual. I mean, my degree is I'm a designer by trade, so this book was definitely meant to be very bold and graphic and in your face. And the history of the brassiere was a perfect topic to lend itself to that.
Well, it is absolutely, you're absolutely right. It is a wonderful coffee table book. It's beautiful. The colors are just is absolutely. When you see it laying there, you have to pick it up. You have to pick it up and you want to touch it. You want, as you go through the pages, you know what? It's kind of like men and breasts, actually.
Yes.
You know, they see them and they just want to touch them.
That's right.
So the book is pretty appropriate.
Yeah. I definitely wanted the outside of the book to be very enticing, and that's the first prototype was actually double the size of the final book because pop-up books are just generally more expensive to make because there's so much paper involved. But the bra strap, there is a bra strap closure that keeps the book closed, and that was one of the things in the original prototype that I was like, we can't get rid of that because it's all about unclasping the bra clasp. To read more about it. And so that was an interactive element that I thought, needed to be in there. And then, of course, even though it's, geared more towards women, there's a page in the very back of the book that says, and for all the boys out there, it's how to unhook a bra with one hand. So it's always so many jokes from guys about, like, oh, let's see how fast I can open up the bra clasp closure. And so anyway, that's a fun conversation piece for sure.
So it's definitely interactive.
Yes, that's right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, because we talked about the corset and this thing, it's just confining. To me, it's disfiguring. It's not figure enhancing. It's disfiguring. So then we move past that. Talk to me about the very first bra.
Yeah, so the very first bra was actually devised by, sorry, my phone just did something, a socialite in New York City named Caress Crosby. And she was just sick of the corset. So she, with the help of her housemaid, took two handkerchiefs and a long pink ribbon, and she came up with the first known corset, bra. And then she eventually sold the rights to Warner's Corset Company for $1,500, which at the time, was a lot. But, now she would have gotten so much more for that. So it was a woman like us that would just, would have just got fed up with the corset. So decided to take action in her own hand and come up with the very first prototype that we call, is now the modern day brassiere.
I think that is just, can you imagine just explaining that to someone? Well, here's this idea I have, and you take these two pieces of fabric here and you connect them together. So then we went through a phase. We didn't immediately go into the whole separate cups, right? You went to what was known as the bandeau, mm-hmm. or just this
right.
one piece thing that kind of looked like, elastic, an ace bandage wrapped around your chest.
Right. Yeah, so that was kind of the next step. But then there was a bra that was huge in the 20s. It was called the Testos bra. And that was, it was a step from the bandeau bra that the flappers were wearing to the cup sizes. And it was like a one-size-fits-all bra. It was a bra that like had different buttons up the strap that depending on your size, you could, if you were an A, it would be pulled tighter. If you were, a C cup, you would just put the button on the next level. So this was definitely like, it was, instead of saying brassiere, everyone used the word more testos in the 20s. That was kind of our clean tissue thing. So that was definitely, that was the next baby step before they got into the cup size and realizing that women were not all one size.
Mm-hmm. And then we get to, how did it dawn upon somebody and that, okay, we need to look at the size. We need to look at cup size.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they just realized that, this finally they wanted to separate and lift the breasts as opposed to keeping it just, you know, more like a unit boob, if you will. I think that was realizing, I mean, there was still in the 30s, and it is so interesting how each decade progressed. I mean, it was still not about cleavage. The cleavage was definitely still a no-no in the 30s. It was just about, you know, acknowledging that there were, you know, two breasts instead of one. And so it was how they could now package the breast as opposed to wrapping them into one, you know, one piece. So I think that, you know, the 30s, you know, also that finally Hollywood was starting. There was Greta Garbo was in the movies. I mean, she's still, you know, she did wear some very modest lingerie. But again, there was still, you know, not any any cleavage until, you know, we start going more into the 40s and 50s, and when Hollywood really took over, when we had these great divas like Jane Mansfield and Lana Turner and different women, like, getting on screen and, like, talk about cleavage. I mean, it was out there more than even modern now that we have our Hollywood actors now. I mean, it was about bigger was definitely better. And so I think that made, you know, brought those bras becoming a little sexier and a little bit more, you know, provocative. But it did take some time to get there. You know, it, like everything, it evolved in waves. And then finally, you know, when women were in the 40s and 50s, you know, were finally like all about the chest, then it was like, you know what, the feminists like Gloria Steinem was like, no, we're going to throw our bras away. We don't want to be just, you know, considered like a provocative kind of trashy figure. That's what they were thinking the bras were doing. So it was like, throw it away and let's, you know, we'll go untethered. And so that was an interesting era because it's kind of funny because even though, you know, their 60s was all about burning the bras, I mean, there was really more of a statement than what people, I mean, women were still wearing bras, most of them. I mean, there were, you know, some people that thought that it was more about having the option. You know, I think that's what the 60s was about. It's like, you know what, I don't have to wear this brassiere. I can, but you know what, they've, you know, totally gone to the extreme of where they were with corsets. I don't have to, but I have the option. So I think that was what was, you know, really great in the 60s. And then you roll into the 70s where it was about being fit and being aerobic and the first, jogging bra, sports bra,
right,
was invented, which it was great. I mean, thinking about that, we didn't even have sports bras until the 70s, you know.
Exactly. That's not that long ago.
No, I mean, it's really not. It was at the end of the 70s when two really avid runners took actually the first prototype of the sports bra was invented by sewing together two jock straps.
Oh, so you're kidding. I never knew that.
Yes, so I think that is kind of interesting that two jock straps were sewn together to bring this, you know, very first prototype. And of course it's been, you know, perfected since then. But that was just in the 70s. So, you know, it's really, when you think about it, the evolution, it's still, you know, that's why at the end of the book definitely ends with, you know, what's next? Because just when you think, you know, you've mastered the brassiere, that there could be, you know, something else. And then, you know, after the 70s and the 80s with Madonna telling people to go outside wearing their brassieres, which, again, I don't think many people were doing it, but in Desperately Seeking Susan and different movies, it was all about kind of, you know, wearing your lace bra, peeking out, you know, underneath your jeans jacket. It made, you know, again, I'm proud to be a woman. So I think it's just great how the bra has paralleled what we've been going through. And what our grandparents and our moms and, you know, all the women in our family have a different, you know, probably one has their different favorite bra story.
Exactly. And I don't think a lot of people think about the bra in terms of a political movement or as some sort of a barometer in terms of politics in this country. But when you think about it, it really is.
It really is. It really did. I mean, I think, you know, it's hard for people to admit that there's a parallel with the social times and the brassiere, because it seems kind of, well, it's just a topic that people didn't really talk about a lot. You know, the brassiere was something you kept private. The bra has made lots of different museums around the country are doing different fashion exhibits that showcase all these different, like, specific and special bras throughout history. And I think, you know, it's now has becoming more of a voice, just as you know, women have. So it's definitely becoming more, you know, of an open story, and I'm glad to be a part of that by putting it out on, you know, on the coffee table.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we come back, we'll talk to you a little bit about where people can find it. It's you published, I think, in 2006. Is that right?
That's right. Uh-huh.
So it's been out. It's still available. It's a great book. We're going to take this break, and when we come back, we'll talk about where you can find it. But then we'll also talk to Sheree about my other favorite thing, and that is beautiful stationery. Stay with us. We'll be right back.